More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, time for a turnaround. Are you hoping to make a change in your life or relationships, but aren't sure where to start or how to make it stick? Let us help. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Time for a Turnaround. We are wishing you the happiest of New Year's, and lots of people are either making resolutions or thinking about things they'd like to change, so we thought we'd jump on and help you be successful in your efforts to make your goals for the new year come true. So give us a call and tell us, what change would you like to make, or that God is inviting you to make, in your personal life or relationships? Especially if you're not sure how to get started or how to make it stick. 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, some of us really do go into the new year with goals, with hopes of things that they want to change. But I'll tell you what, the last few days on our Catholic HOM app, our Households on Mission app, especially like the last 2-3 days, as like the break was ending and we were moving into, okay, life has to start again, I've been talking to quite a few moms who have just hit the wall, are just angry, just fed up, just exhausted. And I actually have one or two that have, you know, emailed in about it, because it's not always what we want to change in terms of, oh, I'm just going to be so proactive this year or this month or whatever that is. Sometimes we just kind of get hit with it, and it's like, okay, something's got to change, or I'm not going to be the person that I like very much.
Yeah.
And so we can definitely talk about things if you're saying, well, I have this goal, and I'm not quite sure how to meet the goal. Great. But if you're like, something's got to change, we are there to help you figure out what's got to change and how to make the change successful here today on More to Life. So go ahead, give us a call. Let's make it happen for you. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So whether you are trying to make a change intentionally, or as Lisa was just talking about, a change is being thrust on you and you're just kind of fed up with the situation and you need to do something about it, but you're not sure what, we are here for you. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. You know, when you think about the changes you either want to make or need to make this year, what feels most frustrating or discouraging right now? What do you imagine could get in the way of your success? Or maybe you found yourself saying, I've tried to change this so many times before and it just never works. Well, whether this is your first attempt at change or your 50th, or you're just starting to look at it and saying, this was not on my plan for 2026, but I see I have to do something about this. Mm-hmm. We are here to help you discover what God's plans are for your life and relationships, help you cooperate with that grace step by step, and make the changes you'd like to make or need to make. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be saying to yourself, well, that's nice and all, but what could some theology possibly have to say about me making change in my life? Well, turns out a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, look, if we took everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and living in healthy, holy relationships?
And sometimes, you know, as we're going through life, it can feel like nothing is ever going to change, and that even our most well-intentioned resolutions are just doomed to fail. But the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for growth and abundance, and when we look at the challenges in our lives, even if they seem impossible to overcome, we weren't created to just settle.
Well, that's right. And, you know, from the very beginning, God created us for abundant, intimate, joyful, healthy, and holy lives. Now, it's true that our wounds and sins and the sins that are inflicted on us complicate that process, but it doesn't cancel God's plans. God isn't defeated by any of those things. Mm-hmm. And every single day, through his grace, God is helping us rebuild the remarkable lives he intends for us.
And that's such an important thing to keep in mind when we're thinking about any kind of change. So often, we look at our struggles and we assume, this is just how it's always going to be. I just don't have the strength to change it. But the theology of the body reminds us that God is always doing something new in our lives, even when we can't see it yet.
All right, but so how do we get started? You know, when we're frustrated by a problem, especially one that just won't go away, the first step is always, always, always bring it to God without ceasing. Not just once, not occasionally, but every day, as long as that problem is there, or that change that we're trying to make is still ongoing, we want to keep bringing it to him and asking him to teach us how he wants us to respond to that change step by step.
And when we're trying to make a change, especially if we failed at it before, we have to let go of the idea that we already know what to do and that we just need to get over ourselves and do it already. Instead, we need to ask God to teach us how he wants us to approach the situation, to pursue the changes he has in mind for us.
Yeah, and that's the poverty of spirit that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes, It's the mindset that allows God to lead us where he wants to take us, instead of where our habits or frustrations keep dragging us.
And then comes the work. As we keep praying, we also keep asking practical questions of God, like, what tiny step can I guarantee I will take today to work toward my goal? We count on his grace after we ask that question to figure it out, and then we focus on tiny, achievable steps, because that's the key. Even a small success is better than none at all.
That's right. And making effective change is really a lot like being a toddler learning to walk.
Yeah.
Right? We need to reach for our Heavenly Father's hand, fall, get back up, and trust that God's teaching us how to live the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled lives we were created for, one step at a time. And when we're trying to make any change, the most important thing, and this is really key, it's not the outcome. We can't just be focused on, did I get there yet? It's about making a commitment to learning a healthy process that, united with God's grace, all but guarantees our ability to make the changes that God wants for us. So, if any of this sounds appealing to you and you're saying, yeah, okay, that sounds great and all, but I'm not sure where to start or how to keep going or get over those obstacles in my way, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the grace to make all things possible. But Lord, in spite of that, we often find ourselves in situations that seem impossible to change, situations where we or feel frustrated, where we feel discouraged, where we've tried to change something in our personal lives or relationships a billion times before and have always failed miserably. Help us, Lord, as we reflect on the changes you would like us to make in our lives, to have confidence not in our own ability, but in your grace. Teach us how to see these situations that we would like to change or need to bring change to through your eyes, so that we can identify the specific problems, make practical steps that allow us to work on it day by day, and to let us lead you, let you lead us step by step through the changes you'd like to see us make, and make them in the way that you'd like to see us make them. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, time for a turnaround. We're talking about change, and as a lot of people are reflecting on making changes or resolutions or having change thrust upon them in the new year, we want to help you respond to all of those changes in graceful ways that enable you to come out on the other end stronger, healthier, maybe a little holier too. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our very first caller of the new year who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis.
On Covenant Catholic Radio. Hey, listener, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Listener in St. Louis?
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, this is, I'm kind of changing what I was going to talk about because I'm going through a divorce, and it's been going on for quite some time. I have 3 children, and they haven't spoken to me or responded to my texts or anything in 6 months. It's very sad. My heart feels completely broken to where it feels dead. Like I'm losing even connection with God, and it makes me so sad. I don't know how to get that back.
I understand.
Your connection to God, and also your connection to your children. It does say on our board that they accused you of being a narcissist, and that's what they gave you as a justification for cutting you off. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, what happened 6 months ago that they felt was the final straw?
I fell into a really dark depression, and I wound up being hospitalized for a few days, and I'm currently on medication, and I haven't been able to break free from the darkness. And as much as I reach out to them, they seem to want to have nothing to do with me.
And
we're going through a divorce.
You're going through so much pain. I'm glad you got into a hospital and you are on medication. That was wonderful that you took such a proactive step. Are you seeing a counselor at least weekly?
I am. Yes.
You are. Okay. Good. And what is the counselor saying about all of this? Just so I know kind of some context here.
You know that I need to put one foot in front of the other. I'm very, very down on myself. Completely down on myself. Like I've kind of let myself go. I feel like aging has really set in the last year, and I don't feel like myself anymore. I don't look like myself anymore. And I wouldn't even want to scare my children with, they might not even recognize me.
I do want to ask you one question in terms of, you're saying aging set in the last year. Have you already been through menopause, or is that a change that you're going through right now that could be adding? Okay.
So there's a lot going on.
Because that's like the biomedical implications of that can very much add to that feeling that you're having.
All right, so let's talk about some steps you can take, though. And I'm very glad to hear that you're both on medication and seeing a counselor. Those are really important things.
And I would really suggest, if you haven't done it yet, get in touch with an OBGYN who specializes in helping women through menopause, because that could be complicating the chemical, component of all of this for you.
So that said, when people are dealing with depression, and this is not intentional, by the way, what I'm about to say, I'm not suggesting that you're doing this on purpose in any way, because nobody who's hurting wants to act this way. But what often happens when we're in pain of any sort, but especially emotional pain, we can become unintentionally narcissistic in the sense that we feel so much pain that all we can think about is how much we're hurting. And unconsciously, again, not intentionally, but unconsciously, the intention behind shutting down, the kind of shutting down that you're describing, it's the effect of beating up on yourself, certainly. But in a sense, unintentionally, what that kind of shutting down is trying to do for us is to send a message to everybody around us, I'm drowning. Can't you see I'm drowning? Please help me. Right? And it's okay to want help. It's good to want help, right? But sometimes, if I'm not taking responsibility for myself, if I'm not doing the little things that I could do to begin to take care of my life, and instead I'm just screaming out with all of my behavior and all of my emotions and all of my attitudes, I'm drowning, please help me, then it becomes exhausting for everybody else around me. And it's a little bit like a person who's drowning in a pool, right, the deep end of the pool, and when someone jumps in to rescue them, we pull them down too, and they start feeling like they're drowning as well. And again, that's not intentional. We don't try to do that. It's not on purpose. But there's the unconscious intention behind depression is, if I could just get sick enough, someone will swoop in and fix all of this for me. Now, I know that sounds crazy when I say it out loud, but there's a part of all of us that wants that. You know, if I could just be broken enough, if I could just be sick enough, if I could just shut down enough, someone might notice and come and help me.
Well, it's really very much ingrained in us, because when we were small and feeling vulnerable because we were small, and now suddenly we're feeling so vulnerable with what's going on in our lives, some adult, hopefully, would rush in and take care of the boo-boo, the illness, the temper tantrum, whatever it was, and that would draw somebody in, and we didn't have to take care of ourselves. And we were children. That was normal.
Well, and sometimes they would only notice us if we were really in that broken-down place.
So when we're adults and we're feeling that fragile and vulnerable due to sickness, due to depression, due to whatever the circumstances are, we have a tendency to do that, and in all honesty, I'm going to call it out, Satan uses it to entrench us more and more into that line of thinking.
So what I want you to focus on is working with your counselor, right, to start figuring out what tiny steps you can take, every day, to start to take more responsibility for your own life and health and emotions, so that it feels safer for other people, especially your kids, to be around you. Again, that's a horrible thing to say. I hate those words coming out of my mm-hmm. mouth. But my best guess is that your kids don't feel safe being around you because they feel like they're being pulled into the deep water with you, and they don't know how to save you, and they don't know how to not get sucked into it as well. And if they could see you taking more responsibility for yourself, even little ways, that would send the message that they can come around and help you in ways that they can help, but not be in danger of getting sucked into the black hole that you're currently in.
And that's normal for them, because they are your children. So they are in that position of, gosh, I need mom to be a whole, healthy adult so that when I hit something difficult in my life or need wisdom, she's there for me. So when Greg and I are saying these baby steps, we are talking little things. You get up, you get a shower, you get real clothes on your body, not sweat clothes or pajamas. And then the next day, you do it again and you add one more thing. And you write down that you've done it, because your brain needs to say, oh, look, I'm making progress. Oh, look, I am capable of things. Don't let your brain keep drawing you back to the finish line, as we were talking about at the beginning, that only when your relationships with them are healed will you be happy again. Take these little steps, and please get in touch with somebody who can take a look at the menopausal component of this, because there's more help out there than ever before for hormonal imbalance.
Stick with your medication, stick with your counselor, and keep reminding yourself, okay, that if it's not a question of if I could just make myself sick enough or broken down enough or look pathetic enough that people will come in and save me, because that's not going to happen. And by taking those small steps that Lisa's describing, you can start showing others that it's safe to be around you and to come around. And I added you to our More to Life prayer list. Please continue doing the work that you're doing with your counselor and your psychiatrist. God bless. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls, listeners, on our show about change, titled Time for a Turnaround. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Time for a Turnaround, as we talk about making change, whether it's a resolution you want to make a change with, or it's just change being thrust on you that you're not sure how to respond to. We're here to help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He is an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
It's going well. So we were talking over the break, and you were saying that you wanted to talk a little bit about how we can begin to make a plan for effective change.
Yeah, you know, I talk to clients so often and about, you know, how much they want to change or how much they want perhaps, you know, a loved one to change. Now, and the sentiment that's often expressed is, well, I'll think about it. Or, oh, well, I'll just try really hard to change, right? As though just simply, you know, squeezing your fist together and, you know, clenching your forehead is going to be enough to kind of manifest change in the world somehow. I don't know what people are expecting. But, you know, of course, we need actual concrete plans if we're going to change things, right? I can't just will myself to have six-pack abs. I need to have a workout plan. Right, I can't just will myself to, you know how to drive. I've got to, you know, practice taking the steps to drive. And the same is true with behavioral change. Whether it's my own change or whether it's change I need to see in a loved one, a concrete, deliverable, incremental plan is vital if we're going to actually see any real progress. So let's walk through the steps of how to create a plan, and we can look at, you know, what that actually looks like in practice. So the first step is acknowledging the concrete I would see if I had changed. So let's use the example of, I want to be a more patient person. Well, what are the concretes that I would see if I had made it to that goal, if I'd crossed that finish line? Some of those might be, you know, for instance, with this particular example, some of those might be I would see people reacting to me differently because I wouldn't be flying off the handle all the time, right? Another concrete would be that, you know, I left conversations feeling more at peace, you know? So I start, so step one is just identifying what the concretes are that will identify for me that I've kind of made it to that goal, that I've crossed that finish line, that I can feel successful, right? Step two is, what are some of the initial smallest parts of that that I can imagine working on? If I were to break it up into kind of bite-sized pieces.
We were just talking to our last caller about that, sure.
Right, exactly. Because we want to empower, you know, these things often are so kind of vague and generalized and abstract that, you know, it becomes really, really difficult and overwhelming to tackle them. So breaking it up into the smallest possible piece that we can. So, for instance, again, with this idea of patience, one of the smallest granular pieces I can break off from that would be, for instance, you know, I want to stop a conversation before I've already gotten angry. That's a very small thing. That's not the completeness of patience, right? But it's a very small thing. Hey, this week, therefore, I want to just practice that part. And then what's another small piece I can break up? Well, I also want to be able to, I don't know, check in with how other people are feeling during a conversation. Okay, great. So now I've got the first 2 weeks of a plan written out. Week one, I'm going to practice leaving a conversation early before I've gotten too angry. Week two, I'm going to practice, you know, checking in with the people's feelings.
Well, and what I like about this is because, you know, we often get in our way of making change because we tend to have an all or nothing approach to it. You know, I want to be patient tomorrow. And to use your example, but by breaking it down into these small achievable steps, we're able to see incremental change and cooperate with God's grace step by step. If folks would like to learn more about Jacob Flores Popchak's good work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com and check him out, as well as all the other resources we have to help you make change. We're taking your calls right now about change. 877-573-7825. Join the conversation.
Is the ecclesial ministry of the Catholic Church personal as well as sacramental and collegial in character? The Catechism says yes. Jesus Christ, the founder of the Catholic Church, calls his ministers personally when he says, "Follow me." The College of Bishops are related to the Pontiff in Rome as Peter was related to the rest of the apostles. When Christ instituted the 12 apostles, he constituted them in a college or permanent assembly at the head of which he placed Peter, the rock of his church. Our Lord gave Peter the keys to his church, designating him the shepherd of the whole flock. The power Christ gave Peter to loose and to bind was also given to the College of the Apostles, united to its head. This pastoral office of Peter and the other apostles belongs to the church's very foundation and is continued by the bishops under the primacy of the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what? We've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me and he just bowed. And he says, "Don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out and I will work."
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Do you want to influence your adult kids? Make sure that the relationship you have is deep enough to contain the conversations you're trying to have. Sometimes a relationship, though pleasant, can be too small to comfortably fit the big questions we want to discuss. Trying to have deep conversations in a shallow relationship is like buying a couch that's twice as big as your living room. It might be a great couch, but trying to make it fit is going to be awkward at best. This is why it's so important to work harder on your relationship with your adult kids than on the things you want to say to them. The more you focus on building a deep and loving relationship with your adult kids, the more likely they'll be to accept you as a mentor. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com. Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today's show is titled Time for a Turnaround, as we talk about those changes you're hoping to make in the coming months, changes you need to make because they've been thrust on you, or just how to approach change in general. 877-573-7825. Let us help you make change and keep the change. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Corey, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Corey, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much, guys, for your counseling ministry here, and appreciate all your work. I was just mentioning to the screener to kind of keep it concise. I'm having, you know, quite a bit of difficulty in my marriage in that I've requested counseling with my spouse, and we've gone in the past, but it was often cut short, and I don't think the work that needed to be done was quite completed, or at least...
Why was it cut short?
Continued. Pardon me?
Why was it cut short?
She left... One of the counselors said that she wouldn't see us again because we needed more intense therapy. And my current counselor for myself that I've invited her to, she does not want to see him for, you know, different reasons. So I've asked for another counselor, and she says we've had counseling in the past, and she doesn't need talking. She needs action. So what I've been kind of dealing with at this point is, you know, when things are good, they're very good. When they're not good, they're not good at all. And so what I'm running into is, you know, my wife feels very free to ask me to do things around the house, to do chores, to run errands, to help clean up after the animals. And then when I ask her to do something around the house or pick something up from the store, she directly tells me no. Example, I'm walking around the house right now. The dishes are stacked up. I do the dishes routinely. I do the laundry. I'm very helpful around the house. I'm doing a lot of the outside work. She'll help here and there, but she tells me that she will not be doing any work on the weekends, that she's still getting used to doing anything on a Saturday that involves work with our new home. And so what I'm trying to understand and get help with is, you know, I have a spouse that's telling me no often for just reasonable requests. And I'm not a jerk. I'm not lording it over her. And then what I'm running into in addition to that is she'll then call her parents and talk with her parents about me while I'm in the room, and I don't have a voice in the conversation. So I've tried to get another mentor couple from our church to see if they would help us and maybe start meeting with us. She feels threatened by that, and, you know...
Okay. Corey, can I ask you a quick question? Are you a member of Catholic Home? Because this sounds familiar to me.
A member of what?
Catholic Home, the app?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, that's all right. Sorry, I just wanted to... I know that we've been dealing with this in there, and I wanted to refer back to
some... Yeah, there's someone very much like that, but we didn't want to, you know, over...
Yeah, and I'll come back to that, actually, because you might actually find this conversation that we're having with this this husband instructive. All right, so what you're describing here, okay, is a situation where your wife doesn't want to change because the marriage works for her.
Yeah.
Like she, right? I mean, if she goes to counseling, it's not that she needs to see action. It's that she's afraid of action.
Yeah.
If you go to counseling, she's going to have to work. She's going to have to actually...
Get up and
more.
Help and be a partner in the relationship. And part of the reason she's calling her parents in front of you and not giving you that voice is she wants to shame you into being quiet and not making her change. Because everything about this is working for her.
So the issue here is I want you to work with your counselor to learn how to set better boundaries with your wife. Because you're not what you're describing anyway. All right. Assuming that you're being honest, and I trust that you are. Assuming that you're being honest here. the real issue is that you need to find ways to hold your wife accountable, and she's not going to want you to do that, right? She's going to treat you like you're being mean and controlling and awful for asking her to be a grown-up and being a partner with you. And so you're going to have to sit through that and hold the boundary while still being loving in other ways, right? So what I mean by that is that when we get frustrated with somebody, especially our spouse, we tend to just kind of lash out, or we say, I need you to do this, and then we withhold love until they actually do it. You're going to need to find ways to continue to be loving, so that even as she's raging at you and calling you mean and saying, how dare you ask me to help with the dishes, or how dare you ask me to work on something with you over the weekend or whatever, you can say, you know what, this is our home, you're my partner, and a partner will show up to do these things, and I expect you to do them. But I also love you, and so I'm going to do these other things to show you that I love you. So you're not letting her off the hook for doing the things that you're asking her to do. And you're not doing them for her. So, like, you know, if let the dishes pile up. If that's, you know, if that's what needs to happen, you let it happen until she gets around to doing it with you, right?
Make it a point of that, okay? So the dishes are starting to pile up, okay? You know, in 15 minutes, we're going to do the dishes together. She has a fit, you don't do the dishes. You try again an hour later. Okay, in 15 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes from now, we're all going to get up, we're going to do these dishes.
That might be the only thing you say to her for an entire week. And then she, you know, right? But you're going to not let her off the hook for helping you with this particular chore, whatever that chore is. We're using the dishes.
Pick one. Because if it goes to, we got to get everything done right now, or we got to take care of all the animals right now, it's going to come off as just, you know, too big to handle for both of you.
Or the animal thing, that's the animal thing is actually in particular what made me think of this other person that we were working with on home.
Yeah, they're going through something so similar.
If your wife and children aren't taking care of the animals, then you take the animals to the animal shelter. And that sends the message that, look, you can either help or I have to make some changes on my own. Everybody gets mad at you about it. They yell at you. They scream, how dare you? And you continue being loving in other ways, and you take the hit, but you're also sending the message, I'm not going to be ignored. And so working with the counselor that you've got to learn how to set effective boundaries, because a lot of people in your position tend to think that they're setting boundaries because they complain about things. But I told her that I needed this, and I complained that it wasn't getting done, and I keep bringing it up, and nothing happens. But then if you go in and you do it anyway, then they know that all they have to do is wait you out. So you're going to have to learn how to set actual practical boundaries, to use fewer words, hold your wife in particular, but the kids as well, accountable while still being loving in other ways. I'm actually going to suggest, since you're already in counseling, that you join the Catholic Home app. It's Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. There's another gentleman in a very similar position that we've been coaching through this, and he's seeing some good success. Same deal with the animals, same deal with the housework. It's very, very similar. And I think that you could benefit from this. It doesn't replace counseling. It's not intended to be counseling. It's coaching. And we can help with specific interactions and say, kind of coach you through, okay, my wife said this, now what do I do? Or I'm faced with this situation with the kids, now what do I do? So in addition to it being a parenting resource, we have channels for marriage and a channel for parents of adult kids too. So it's a great opportunity to just kind of get ongoing daily feedback, because you can, as a subscriber, you can get as much coaching as you like on the app every day. So it's a great resource for you to follow up with the suggestions that we're making here.
But as you work with the counselor you're working with now, Corey, you want to go to your next session saying, look, I really want to work and come out of this session with how to set some specific boundaries that I can take small steps here. The other thing you want to talk to your counselor about is, and how do I deal with this discomfort when they make me the evil one? Because they are just trying. You, your wife, your kid, whoever's involved in this, especially your wife in this. This is, if I throw enough of a temper tantrum, if I degrade him enough to my parents, he will back off and do everything for me like he's my slave. And I just get to go along and do nothing and have everything done for me. You need to talk to the counselor. Okay, this makes me really uncomfortable when my wife has a fit, or when my wife degrades me to her parents. how can I handle this so I can become stronger and not let that intimidate me and hold the boundaries that you and the counselor are going to come up with?
I mean, the bottom line on that is that you have to learn how to not let it affect you.
Which
because
is difficult.
Because it's manipulative. That's all it is. It's not. You know, you don't actually have to prove yourself to her parents. You're never going to be able to do that anyway. And you can't win that game against her. The only thing you can do is not play that game. But that's easy for me to say, and it's another thing for you to actually do it. So that's why Lisa's suggesting you talk to your counselor about how to pull that off. So, Corey, I want to thank you for the call. I also, just for listeners out there, because this could have gone a very different way, right? So when I saw what was on the board about, you know, Corey's wife not wanting to go to counseling, and when she told him, as he explained, you know, I don't need more talk, I need more action. I see this a lot with husbands who aren't doing anything, right?
Yes,
whose wives are in Corey's position, where they're doing all the stuff around the house. They're carrying the emotional load. They're doing all the practical stuff. And, you know, when you get into a counseling situation there, very often the wife will say, look, I'm not going to, I can't be here and doing this because this is just me carrying more of the emotional load and I can't do it. And if that was the case, I'd be giving Corey very different advice. But because of what he described, it's the opposite situation where the relationship works for his wife as it is, as unbalanced and unjust as it is. And so that's why I'm suggesting to Corey that he needs to take this approach. So this would not apply to everybody out there who's listening, whose spouse isn't interested in counseling.
I'm so glad you made that clear. Yeah. Right.
Corey, thanks for the call. Again, if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here through CatholicCounselors.com or download the Catholic Home app and become a subscriber. That's Catholic HOM, Households on Mission. It's going to help you both with parenting and with your marriage by giving you the ongoing coaching that you need and a lot of creative resources to build a more loving, caring, joy-filled, faith-filled domestic church in the new year. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825. And listeners out there, by the way, I want to share the Catholic Home app with you as well. Catholic Home, that's H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. It's a great resource to help you become a more effective Catholic parent and build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. It's based on research into how Catholic families that have uncommonly close relationships and have successfully raised all of their children to be faithful Catholic adults. We've identified the 12 habits those families live out, and we teach them to you how to live them in your marriage, how to live them in your parenting life, how to live them in your relationship with your adult kids. We've got channels for all of that and more on the Catholic HOM app. So you can get daily coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches and download a ton of creative resources to help you discover what it means to be a godly, faithful, loving, joy-filled Catholic husband, wife, and parent.
And I want to talk about those creative resources for just a moment because I am so excited about our January downloadable that teaches people how to connect their children more with God through St. John Bosco's daily nighttime blessing. It's beautiful. It's right there for all of our members, and it's super easy to do, and it's just a joy to read and practice in your life. So
check
great resources there.
Download and subscribe to the Catholic HOM app today and hope to continue the conversation there. We've got to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Revelation chapter 21, verse 5.
Behold, I make all things new.
Short and sweet, to the point, especially on our show about change today on More to Life, where God is promising that it is His intention to make us new in spite of the obstacles and difficulties that we see in the way, in getting in our way on the road to change. God's grace is greater.
And we have to remember that we need to cooperate with that grace. As we were saying at the beginning of the show, so if you're saying, yes, I want God to make all things new, or this situation in my life new, I don't know how to change this, start by asking Him to. And second, then, Lord, what is one small thing you want me to do right now, or during this day, or this week, to begin to allow you to make this new in my life and make the changes that I need so much.
Amen. Are you hoping to make a change in your life or relationships? Or have you encountered a situation where you say, something's got to change,
mm-hmm.
but you're not sure what or where to start or how to keep it going? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Back with your questions about change right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dealing with personal, emotional, or relationship challenges? You don't have to go it alone or sacrifice your faith to get good help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of Catholic pastoral counselors has helped thousands of Catholics, just like you, find grace-filled solutions to life's toughest challenges. At CatholicCounselors.com, we integrate the timeless wisdom of our faith with cutting-edge psychological insights to help you make change on every level. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today and let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Time for a Turnaround, as we talk about either making change or dealing with changes that have been thrust on you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with James, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
On the Guadalupe Radio Network. James, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
I would like to know how I can grow closer to God.
All right, James. So tell me, how old are you?
13.
Okay.
13. What a great question.
So tell me, when you say how to grow closer to God, what do you do right now to try to be as close to God as you know how to be?
Well, I go to church and I pray every day from the beginning of the day and before I go to bed.
Good for you. And when you say you pray, are you using specific prayers or are you using your own words?
Specific prayers.
Okay.
And have you ever just taken some time and just talked to God about what's going on in your heart and your mind?
I have, but not a lot.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is there something in particular that happened recently that's made you say, I'd like to be closer to God?
Yes.
Can you tell me what it is?
Well, I was at my friend's place and we missed the church day. So instead of that, we went to this chapel thing that they made. And when we were there, I decided I wanted to grow closer.
That's beautiful.
Okay, James. Well, I'm glad to hear that you've got a prayer life, that you go to Mass on Sundays. I think that's all beautiful. And I think, you know what, God loves you so much, and He wants to have a closer relationship with you.
And I promise you, James, that inspiration that came in that moment is the Holy Spirit moving in your life. That's God reaching out to you and inspiring you to reach back.
Yeah, because we don't actually, on our own, we don't know how to pray or even have the inclination to pray. The very desire to pray or to draw closer to God Is God actually saying to us, I love you and I want to be closer to you? Will you respond to me? And you're doing that, you know, with this call and asking that question. So, James, I want you to keep doing the things you're doing. I want you to keep going to church. I want you to keep saying their morning and bedtime prayers like you are. But here's what I'd like you to do. You know, all of us have thoughts that go through our head all day long. We call it self-talk. Right. So we might, you know, for example, you might wake up in the morning and say, oh, I don't feel great today. Or I'm not really looking forward to going to school. Or you might say something might happen where you feel great. And he's like, oh, I'm so glad that I did well on this test. Or I'm so glad I did well at the game or whatever. Instead of just letting those thoughts go through your head, I want you to put Lord in front of it and make it into a prayer. So you wake. So use the example I gave. Instead of just saying, oh, I really don't want to go to school today. I'm really worried about this. You say, Lord, I just don't want to go to school today because I'm really worried about this. Could you please help me know how to respond to that? Or instead of saying, oh, I'm so glad I did so well on that test, like, Lord, thank you for helping me do well on that test and help me to be grateful for the gifts you've given me and to keep doing well in this subject. Or, so we take our self-talk and we turn it into a prayer by just putting Lord in front of those things that go through our head. And by having that conversation with God all day, what we're doing is inviting God to walk with us and be our friend and learn to listen to him as we go through all the stuff we go through all day long.
And it's a great idea that since you've, you know, reached out here, you're so inspired by this to grow stronger in your faith, to say, Lord, I really felt inspired to get to know you better and have a stronger faith when I went to that chapel experience. Help me to know how to grow in that. Give me more of your Holy Spirit.
So, you know, I think this is amazing. And for listeners who are wondering, you know, gosh, it's really unusual for a 13-year-old to call in about this. You know, God wants every one of his children to love him, no matter how old. When I was 6 years old, I went through a kid's version of the Life in the Spirit, and it really stuck. And I've had a personal relationship with God ever since that's only grown. And James, I just know that God has great plans for your life, that he loves you so much, that he's so grateful for you being responsive to the call of the Holy Spirit on your heart. You know, I want you to keep going to Mass. I want you to keep saying your morning and evening prayers the way you are. But I want you to add this dimension of having a personal prayer rooted in bringing all of those thoughts and that self-talk to God throughout the day. Just keep inviting him into it. No matter what you're thinking, put Lord in front of that and turn it into a prayer. And you're going to start to discover how, not just how to bring God with you throughout the day, but how to listen to him talking back to you. Because the more you continue that kind of prayer, the more you're going to start having senses of the Holy Spirit that are kind of gently nudging you in this direction or that, and helping you feel his presence even more.
And James, there's one more thing that I am desperate to make sure that you start to do in your faith life. And that is, when you have that privilege to go to Mass, really focus on the Holy Eucharist. Talk to him the way we're talking about you talking to him right now, but face to face, and say, Lord, give me complete faith that you are fully present in the Holy Eucharist. Lord, let me know your love strongly through the Holy Eucharist, because once you really start focusing on your Lord and your God loving you enough to give all of himself to you, to feed you with his body, blood, soul, and divinity, because he cherishes you, James. He loves you. He wants to be with you and in you all the time, talking to you, helping you, consoling you, being there with you, giving you strength, making you the man of God he created you to be. You will be so empowered with that. So talk to him all day long, but when you are in the presence of the Holy Eucharist, look him straight in the eye, as it were, and really focus on how much he loves you and ask him to help you love him back.
James, thank you so much for the call. I'm really touched and inspired by your question. I know God has great plans for you, and he's reaching out to you even now. I hope that you'll be able to follow through with the advice that we're giving. I'd also, just one last thing, ask your parents if you guys can make sure that you're praying together as a
yes.
family every day, if you're not doing that already. And share some of the advice that we gave with you, with your mom and dad, so that you can all learn to have a more personal prayer life as well.
Together, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, James, for the call. And if there's more
God
we can do to support you,
James.
Don't hesitate to ever call us again here on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
And I want to thank you for calling in, because you asked a question that so many people of every age really want to know. And for you to be such a witness at 13 years old, James, God has great things in store for you. God bless you.
As we head into the final seconds of the program, you know, we've been talking about change. And I just want to leave you with this one thing. You know, when there's a change that's on our hearts that either we want to make or need to make, the first thing we need to do is bring that change to God and say, okay, Lord, help me know how you want me to respond to this. Right? I want you to pretend that you don't have the first idea of how to respond to it, because let's face it, you don't. None of us do, right? Because we all charge off on our own energy and say, I'm going to overcome this, and I just have to do it. And then we fall on our faces because we haven't stopped to ask God to teach us how to do it. See, because God wants to use all these changes not just to affect change in our lives, but to draw closer to Him. And in order to do that, we need to be asking Him day by day how to respond to the change step by step. So don't just say, God, help me make this change. It's, God, teach me how to work toward this change today. Show me how you want me to pursue this change in a way that enables me to draw closer to you and live your plan in my life, and let your will be done. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like more support in making changes in your life or relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there's so much more to life.
Co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.